Hello, everybody, and welcome to Rise of Drekkus, Chapter 2, Epilogue, After Show, Q&A, How's it going, players? That thing. How are y'all doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
So good. So ready for this.
I'm checking in from near Santa Barbara.
Ooh. How's the weather? Any fire elementals or something?
Jeez, it's so nice and sunny. It's another perfect day in California. Jealous.
That is how it is. I'm jealous. California. So, where last we left the party, the enemies had sailed away. The island was yours, but it's still not a safe place, right? There's still elementals cruising around. And there's still threats from these elementals and the very earth itself and fires and storms. And there's this, monsters, elementals, fays, and elves that are supposed to be occupying the so-called jungle of death. But you've got this little outpost on the outside. So what are our thoughts? Well, how long are we staying? That's the real question I want to get to. I know there's a lot going on, but how long are we staying? Are any of you leaving now? On the first ship out of here? Are any of you going to try and stay for as long as possible? What are your plans individually as characters?
Can we do Crumb and Vincent first?
Yeah.
I'd love to hear what they want. But...
yeah, Vincent, you first.
Oh my god. No, Una reverse card, Crumb.
Fuck. I think that Crumb would want to stay back for a little bit. See how to help the town and whatnot. She is a rogue, but she's not like a sociopath or heartless. She wants to see the town bounce back. She cares about that. And also to see if the place is hospitable or if it's like, hey, everyone, we should get the fuck off of this. Like, it's really unsafe.
So,
okay.
In more practical terms, what does that mean?
What does that question mean?
Like, are you leaving as soon as possible? Are you gonna?
No.
Are you gonna stick around for 5 years? Are you waiting until Elaine?
Oh, well, it would also depend. Like, if they were staying, I think that's like a group decision, right? If we had a convo and they were like, "Oh, we both want to be on the first ship out of here," I think Crumb would still stay back. But if they were like, "Oh, we're gonna stay here for 5 years," Crumb might be like, "Oh, maybe my services could be used for Elaine for 5 years." You know, like, okay. It depends. Like, does anything come in the mail that she needs to go and deal with somewhere else? If she's called somewhere else, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's okay. Open to staying, depending on everyone else, but she wouldn't be on the first boat back.
She's not in any hurry to go anywhere.
No, not in any hurry.
What about you, Vincent Mapper?
It's possible that I have some loyalty back home in the sense that I was sent out for this mission, and they probably expect me back to send out for other missions. Mm-hmm. I think my job here is basically complete, and there's not much else I can do in this place, so I'd probably head back on the first ship.
Mm-hmm. Elaine, is there anything that you needed to wrap up before answering this question?
It's a little bit difficult for me, because I think... as the leading commander of the troops, you need to report back. I don't think you have much of a choice, right? You need to tell people what's going on, and I think somebody also needs to go back and tell the Empress and Lord Marshall about the probably upcoming invasion, maybe? You know, the conflict, what were the enemies like, what might we be facing? So she kind of has a duty to help with that.
Yeah, certainly Elaine will have to follow orders, but given an opportunity, like, presuming that they say, do you want to keep an eye on this place? Or they could ask you, is your job done? And you could say, no, I have to stay here and Like, there's plenty of leeway here for you to say your mission isn't complete, or to say that, like, it's done and you can go home now.
Right? I think, you know, there's a possibility of having to report back and then coming back to the island because there's still things to do there. Mm-hmm. We haven't discovered the island fully, right? It is quite a dangerous place, but there's a lot going on. There's a lot of lore to uncover, many magical secrets as well. Excavating to be done. And I also feel like Elaine has a responsibility towards the people of this island because people from Drakkas have been sent here before, and then things got crazy and the island was taken over by the Vorassi army, and people have suffered greatly for several years before being rejoined with the Empire. Mm-hmm. And we have a responsibility to ensure that there's at least some feeling of stability, and I feel like if we just fucked off right now where they are, like, possibly starving but at least in bad shape and not knowing what kind of natural disasters coming for them next, that they would feel abandoned again. I don't think that's something Elaine would want. So she feels like they need at least to establish some sort of order here and support the people. So yeah, I don't think she would just up and run away. I think she would feel the need to be at least an organizational part of this island and show people that she's here to help and actually help. And not just, you know, leave them again to the next Vorassi ship that's going to come their way.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think thinking about that now, like, now I'm thinking about Crumb's, like, upbringing and why she left her home in the first place. She didn't want to be, like, a little wheat farmer forever, a little wheat farming halfling. She wanted adventure and stuff. And I think in her past rogue stuff, maybe things had been really dark and heavy and, like, oh, you have to go assassinate this person. And then she got here and there was, like, a fucking cat that was, like, an elven cat that could talk. And there was, like, this adventure and stuff where she could be, like, roguey, but, like, in a place with a lot of magic and wonder. So I think that she, if possible, she wanted to stay back for a while. And also, if there was ever, like, a half-elf or an elf that came that wanted to go into the forest and stuff, she would be like, let me come with you, please, 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 I want to go on an adventure. She wouldn't take, like, a normal human or an orc, mm-hmm. because of the way that it seemed that, like, this is not a space for them, and even she would have to be, like, a guest or invited. But she would want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've got a bunch of questions from chat, and Ooh. I'm gonna ask a few of them, and then we're gonna do a little bit of, like, my questions and maybe some RP, and then we'll do some more questions. We're just gonna kind of bounce all over the place. So if at any point you have a direction you want to take these things, or you want to say that you need another moment to talk to a character in game or something like that, just talk over me and call for whatever things we need, and we'll do it. But I'm going to start with some real simple questions, like, what level was Geraldine Silverworth? And she was a 6th level mage, non-specialized mage. But her spells are mostly in the divination and abjuration categories. She didn't have fireball or lightning bolt, but she did have flame arrow. And she did have web and invisibility and glitter dust and ESP and magic missile and all those sorts of fun things. But lots of things like tongues and wizard sight and clairvoyance and clairaudience so that she could, like, spy on people from a distance. Yeah, lots of that stuff. Detect invisibility. Next.
Did she actually have a robe color? because when we saw her, yeah. She was just dressed. She didn't have a robe on, right? She was in normal noble clothing. Or was that included? Because then she would have been black.
I don't know. This robe is a not necessarily a technical term. This is kind of a robe. It's like a showy robe, right?
All right. Yeah, that's fair. So then it would be she was black.
Black-robed mage, yes. Which means that she uses magic for her own purposes. The three robe colors, white, red, and black. White means you're altruistic in your pursuit of magic. You're using it for other people. Red is you're mostly using it for the study of magic itself or for, like, research or maybe as, like, a unaligned, I sell these services to whoever wants them. And black is more of a, I'm using this for myself. very, very loosely concepts, and it approaches your effects to magic and what sorts of spells and blah, 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 blah. That's more of a Solemnese thing than an Arcadian thing. Ooh, what's a good question for one of these party members? Well, there's a bunch of questions that are along the lines of, like, what's next for the party? Are there any plans to bring these characters back? And as of this moment, there are no plans to bring any of these characters back. Elaine's had two campaigns, and I think we're just going to tap her out. If she did another one, Rise of Drekkus would essentially just be Elaine's story. And we're not trying to do Elaine's story, we're trying to do Drekkus's story. So probably not going to see these characters again. But we could say, knowing that there's not going to be another campaign coming forward, what would you, each of you, like your characters to get involved in? Let's start again with Peach. What, if Peach could choose her destiny at this point, what would she do? No, you're not. If Crumb could choose her destiny at this point, what would she choose to do?
She would take her little rogue skills. She'd have, if Crumb could choose her own destiny, Elaine would come back on that ship and say, Crumb, we need to go into the forest, and we need to explore, and we need to get this place ready for fucking utopia, and also we need to, like, find the artifacts and do all that, and I need your little Crumb skills, because you're just so good, and you always rolled so well. And she'd put on her little war paint, and she'd go and be, like, a little fucking halfling in the forest. I don't think that Crumb really cares about, like, meeting another halfling man, having little halfling kids. She just wants to, like, explore and do adventure.
Excellent.
That's it. She just wants adrenaline.
What about Vincent? This was a far cry different from the things that you've normally been up to and doing. If Vincent could choose his future from here, what would Vincent choose to do?
Well, that's an interesting thing. I don't think Vincent can choose his future, since he was paid from the Kingdom of Drekkus to go through wizarding school and do their bidding. So I believe that Vincent's best hope is to, you know, do a few more missions for Drekkus, pay off his debt, so to say, but at the same time pull off his own way of making sure whatever, like, if he encounters peoples, that they are treated well.
Okay. Let me put this another way then. Has Vincent gotten a taste for the wild explorations and the adventuring in the world and wants to continue doing that? Or is this like, adventure is fun, but I would rather be at home? What's his relation to this? Because he was a mapper, and then he was paid to go to school, and now he's been, like, drafted into this thing. Is he happy about this lifestyle?
Yeah, I think it's cool to really change up lifestyle and go out and explore the world, which he's only ever seen on maps before, and perhaps make a few maps of his own.
And Elaine, if you could choose your future?
There are a few things. I think Elaine needs to go and find a weapon master, somebody who helps her to achieve mastery in the longsword. She was bested by Mark Turag, who was, you know, higher level, but still. I think it's about that time in the story of a true fighter where you have to decide, do I really want to get better at this? And that means you need to take some time off. So she would need to find that time just before the war comes in, you know, which is hard to figure out. But she would need to advance in that skill. And I think if Santa Barbara is viable land to live there and support it, and maybe even prepare it for the elves, who knows if that is a thing that could still happen, there's a lot of power to be gained on this island as well, right? So if you decide to make this your base and make Santa Barbara an actual outpost for the upcoming war, possibly, you know, like a place where ships can come and recuperate and restock, then that could be really viable for the Empire as well, I feel. So, and there are no real nobles around right now. So if she would try to have a position here that makes her the current leader of Santa Barbara, or, you know, in charge of these people and in charge of a military station here, I think that That would be quite interesting. It would allow her to explore the island, her own ancestry, and bring her family even more honor than she already has. So you know, I think that would be an interesting thing.
There's only one castle or keep or estate here large enough to support a noble of Elaine's rank, but it's occupied by the current governor.
Is that a problem?
The question is, you know, would Elaine come and kick out the governor? Would Elaine come and cohabitate with the governor? Would Elaine come and build her own castle?
Well, maybe we should talk to the governor about it, Neil.
Maybe we should talk to the governor about it. Well, this will be our first jump back into...
I already regret saying that.
In-game. Because we saw Lord Campbell last. Lovely, sweet, innocent Lord Campbell. Almost getting killed, but instead, finding that he's got an interest in the water elemental fey creatures of the jungle. And he will end up coming back to the outpost with you guys that day.
Do I know what happened to him? Like, anybody... No, he just went there, and I figure he had a nice little
introduced, talk. They chatted... I imagine everyone like hung around for a little while because this is a 2-day journey out there. You're not going to walk for 2 days and then be like, there's a person, bye. And then like, you know, you're going to at least take a break and hang out and he'll chat. And I think in the distance, you know, maybe down the hill a little bit, you'll see the two of them begin to kiss. And then Lord Campbell will pull away with some sort of, oh, wow, sound that travels up the hill towards y'all.
So, did they actually kiss or not?
Oh, yeah. Oh, there was a big arms wrapped around each other, French style.
French style.
Session. Yes.
All right. I probably had a mildly shocked expression on my face as I saw that happening because my intention was to send him to the Nereid so she could explain to him that this land is meant for the elves, you know, and that since he is half elf, he has a certain responsibility to take over. Then she just sees this unfolding. She's like, that's not how I imagined this in my head.
No.
Does he know that he almost drowned? Like, if he sees the Nereid again, will he just be like, oh, worked last time, let me go make out with her again?
Yes, 100%. This man will give it a second try. I would bet my life on it.
This man's gonna fucking die.
But he'll come back with you later that day and head back to the outpost after having met with the Nereid and chatted with her for an hour and take the company. He can't travel this coastline on his own. Lord Campbell would get himself killed if he had to walk for 2 days by himself, right? He needs the protection of the party. So you will have a moment to chat with him, a long 2-day moment on the way back. Does anyone want to say anything to or ask anything of Lord Campbell?
Should I start?
If you want. Unless you just want to walk in silence.
I mean, I'll walk in silence for a good while simply because I don't know how to start a chat after what I've just seen, but... So, Lord Campbell, did she explain to you, you know, what the Jungle of Death is and what this place is meant to be and the greater purpose and all that? Did you have a talk, or...?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she certainly taught me a few things.
That's not what I meant, you know.
No, I mean, I learned all about this place and our people and I told her that this waterway, this causeway that used to be cursed that we can now walk through. She told me all about how, you know, she was supposed to be stopped until the first elves came through. And I told her that, like, all the people on the coastline are non-elves, and she should just keep that closed forever and never, ever open it again. And that's probably the best thing to do, so.
Right. So now that you know me, can go back through there.
I mean, it's her waterway. I don't really understand how these things work, but she said all I gotta do is put my ankles in the water and call for her, and she'll come by and say hello, and... You know, I gotta go find out if I can do that down at the beach, because technically the river connects to the sea, so isn't all water technically her domain? It should be fine.
Well, you're in for a couple of very interesting conversations if you're trying to find out more about how Nerids work and how they think.
Well, they work just splendidly. Don't you think?
Well, I think Vincent and you are definitely in agreement on that one.
He looks to Vincent.
That's what a fascinating peoples.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Yes, they're worth more exploration.
So I guess it's time to say goodbye soon.
Yeah, I suppose. That means you're taking off? Or am I taking off?
No, I think you are definitely staying on that island. I mean, unless you want to go back to Drekkers.
Well, I don't know. Am I going to jail? Am I going to be imprisoned? Executed?
I think
enough
people
made governor permanently?
I think enough people have died on and for this island. I think we've lost many proud nobles before any of my group even has seen them.
Relegated back to peasant class? Kept as... What's happening? I know you're demure about these things, but come on. What's my fate here? Is this was that like a last meal before execution?
You're not being executed. You're not being thrown into prison.
He looks to Peach, to Crumb. You understand what I'm asking, right, Crumb? Am I just dumb?
What?
He looks to Vincent. Come on, someone tell me. Am I not communicating well here? What happens? What are you going to recommend?
What? Well,
it's up to her.
The problem is, Lord Campbell, that I think that time and time again, you fail to actually make a proper request. You always leave it to other people to decide what is going to happen to you. You never say what you actually want. You never fight for what could be your dream. You're always just depending on what might somebody else say. I've never heard you even make a request about it. You just live in hypotheses, and that annoys me without end. Because if you want to be a true noble, then you need to be able to stand up for what you want and just stand up for what is right. And if until the end of time all you're doing is to nod along, then I'm sorry, but then I don't see you capable of being the ruler of this island. Is that clear enough?
I'll tug on Elaine's thing and, like, on her coat, and I'll go, Elaine, I don't think he's a good ruler. I think that he's kind of stupid and he doesn't really know what he's doing at all. I think that this whole place is going to burn to the ground under his leadership because he don't got any leadership, because he don't got any balls.
Look, a lot of things have happened to me in my life. I ended up here not because of choices I made, but because other people made choices for me.
Yeah. You blame your daddy, and your daddy blames his daddy, and his daddy blames his other daddy. Listen, if you're not a leader, then you're not a leader. You can't blame everyone else. If you're a bad leader, then you're a bad leader. And I think that you are a nice person, mister.
Wow.
But I don't know if you are built to run a whole island. You have to have a leadership in yourself. Come on.
What about a small village?
You couldn't even lead a small village.
I just did a great job!
You sat here and dangled yourself on a boat while everyone else was in danger. You have to have some gall, some guts. You have to have some fiery passion in your heart. You could maybe be the leader one day. Maybe if a good leader, like, puts you under their, like, wing or something, but... I don't think that this place is going to do well with you in charge. I think that you're best to maybe help someone that's in charge. I'm just a little halfling. Listen, that's the big one right there. Big, she tells you what to do, but I think this place is going to crumble under you.
You know what? I think you're doing just fine.
Thank
I was
you.
Thinking that Elaine was being coy and was just waiting until a surprise feast or something to instill you. Ultimately, it's up to her.
That's what I thought. You know, she's all, I'm here from the Empress. I'm a Pentalin. I got a big sword. I got plate mail. I used to have plate mail, you know, walking around like she's in charge of things, which makes sense. And I just figured that at the end of all of this, the fake noble was probably just going to be done away with. I'm trying to be respectful of your position. But if you want me to make a clear demand, I don't want to work in the fields anymore. I love my house. I think I would be a great representative. I'm going to live a long time. And I can speak with the Nereids and the people of the forest and shit. It'd be way
you
better.
Weren't doing much speaking to the Nereids. You were sticking your tongue down their throat is what you were doing. Is that how you're going to parlay with people? You're just going to try and sex them?
There are a lot of ways to communicate, Little Crumb. Some of it is through body language. Not that
oh, really?
Someone like you would ever know anything about that.
Actually, I'm very popular amongst the halfling men, if you should know that. Yeah. You're not going to be able to sleep your way out of every conflict and conversation that you have if you're the owner of this place.
Have I slept my way through a single conversation or problem?
With the Nereid.
There was no sleeping that for that short period of time.
I'm sleeping. That's what you were doing.
You're just jealous.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Nuh-uh.
Uh-huh. I see the way you look at Vordran.
Vordran is too tall and meaty. I like my men small, short, and frail.
You brought this upon yourself.
I think he just has a good chuckle at that. Yeah. Okay. Well, that will bring y'all back to the outpost. Doesn't sound like there's anything else to say there. So we're going to go on to our next question. This question is for... it's for Elaine. In what ways has Elaine changed after this experience, if at all?
Oof. I think it's a very different experience to go to an island where you're in charge of civilians, right? You can't make the decisions you normally do, the military ones, just based off on, well, I'm only responsible for my troops and for their well-being, but you have to take into consideration that all the actions you do will reflect back on the villagers, which is one of the reasons why she decided to walk into the ambush as well, right? To demonstrate we're here to protect your people and we will take care of things. Whereas if you just had a fort, you know, and wouldn't have to care about other people, you could just hunker down and sit it out in many, many cases. So I think Elaine was also a little surprised when she saw that there were still 40, 50 orcs left when they walked into town. We never really had a very good number of how many orcs were left. At some point, Nook-Nook told us, oh, you know, most of them are dead and they died to the weather and whatever. But he's not the most reliable little goblin, if you remember. So I think she was very relieved in the end that they didn't all... like, that the diplomatic way worked at a second attempt. Because if we had all fought it out, there's no way of saying how well it would have gone, but there's a very high likelihood that many, many people would have died on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And we were outnumbered. There were more than twice as many people as us. We had no way of knowing what kind of wizard Geraldine was. It would have been bloody and it would have been really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if she has learned something, then it is that sometimes you need that gut, need to keep that gut feeling of anger and hatred inside for the greater good, because she despises these people. She despises the army of Verassi. The second she saw that orc gnaw on that arm, it was like she was done with talking to these people, but realizing that she needs to protect them really showed her that sometimes you have to keep what you really think inside if it's for the greater good of the Empire. Mm-hmm. If it would have been up to her, she probably would have fireballed them. But, you know, to her true nature, I guess. But she realized it's not always up to what you want and how you feel if you want to be a true leader. Sometimes you have to make decisions that go against the things you truly believe in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm surprised by that one. At the very end, you'd have cast a fireball on that delicious group of orcs.
Yes.
Toasty orcs.
And goodness. Yet you didn't. You didn't order Vincent to.
No, I did not. There was enough hatred and there was enough negativity there to give it a real thought, you know, but she put it behind because doing that in the middle of the village with all the civilians around, and even then when the boat left, you know, she felt like it's kind of her way to prove that they are more honorable people than these people on the boat.
Thanks. Next question is for Jeff. What is it like playing a character? No, wait, that's not the one. Can you tell us more about playing two characters at once, Vincent and Vordrin? What made you want to play like this? Is there any lore we didn't get to know about that you are burning to tell everyone? I guess that's
At the very beginning, I just intended for him to be a silent, you know, stand in my way, since Vincent is a less than 10 hit point, if I remember right. Maybe 12? Mm-hmm. Anyways, he's a really squishy wizard, and I figured that Drekus would probably... And he's pretty charismatic, so I figured Drekus would, like, issue a standard-issue bodyguard with most traveling wizards. So that's his story. Near the end, I decided to, you know, have him get riled up a bit.
Because
he was rightfully riled up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you have a strategy to prevent everyone from forgetting that Vordrin existed?
No, I think that would be best. He was just meant to be a background character.
Okay. Question for Peach. How was your first time playing in a Khoibu campaign?
It was very good. I very much enjoyed it. It's cool how there's so much lore and stuff and, like, political tensions and whatnot that I had no idea about, so... It's a lot of information to catch up on, but it was really fun to feel like in a very small blippet of time, in a very small place, little crumb maybe made a difference in the history books. Like, you know, like it could have gone this way or that way. And, you know, if we decided to fireball them, then that would have been in the history books that we either died to them or that we defeated them. The way that you know, it's cool. It was very fun. And you guys are all awesome. Like the people I played with were very fun. Khoibu is good.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you for your kind comments. Next question is, with the premise of Rise of Drekus being short campaigns that will inform and grant insights into the nature and inner workings of the Rising Empire, what are the main points being taken from this chapter, and how might this impact the path forward?
Well, that's a Neil question if I've ever heard one.
That is a question for me. So, this incident is not going to spark a war between the Verossi Empire and Drekus, but it is only a matter of time before conflict comes between these two nations, these two groups. What this campaign does do is show us that it is not going to be fought here. It's not going to be fought in this Ethos area. It's not going to be fought just north of Arcadia. The conflict is going to happen mostly further away. And it's also going to be, let's call it less, I don't want to say less personal, because when it's empire on empire, personal doesn't really make much sense here. But it's not going to necessarily be all out total war, because Arcadia, like Ethos, is really close to Arcadia. This outpost is it's right there. So if the war had started here, it would have been a brutal, savage, nasty war, not to say that other wars are peaceful and kind, that would have taken both kingdoms, both empires, to their extremes. So instead, when conflict does come, it will still be dangerous and difficult, but most of the battlefields will be further away, and it won't be such a all-out slog to the bitter end. It'll be a conflict, but not like a World War-style conflict, which is nice. Which is nice. It means that Drekkus will have some room to grow, and instead of being, will Drekkus be overthrown by the Verossi Empire, or will the Verossi Empire be overthrown by Drekkus, it'll be more about, like, who controls the territory in between them? Who's going to control the island nations and the big islands in those areas? So we are going to have scaled back the magnitude of the conflict between these two groups.
If we had killed the, like, Geraldine at the end, I don't know if this is, like, meta to know, or, like, tell me if you can't answer this question, but do you think that that would have sparked a war if she had just, like, not shown up back or something and she got killed?
I think that if all contact had been lost with this area after, you know, in non-insignificant resources were spent getting here, they would send more ships with more people or use more divination magic to see what was going on. And it would have sparked their curiosity. And there's enough interesting magical stuff going on here that once their curiosity was really, really sparked, that they wouldn't have left it alone. Because there's just too much cool, juicy new lands and gods things going on. And for an empire built around a deity and a worship of that deity, like having a land made by gods is really fascinating for them. But with Geraldine bouncing alive and intact, she can downplay the significance of this place or upplay more important things, which will definitely leave them away from this zone for a nice long while.
That's good, because I like that the forest might be for the elves. And I'm glad that we were able to, out of character, I'm glad that we were able to, like, salvage that little space for as long as possible.
Well, that brings us to the next question. If the gods didn't want humans to find and colonize the island, why put it so close to Arcadia? And is there a chance that the elves abandon this plane and go just live in the Feywild? And the first part of this question, why would the gods do this? I obviously can't answer. The gods work in their own mysterious ways, but I can give you some things to chew on. Either the gods have all the power to do whatever they want, and they chose this place in particular because they wanted it to be this close to Arcadia, or there was, like, you know, they're not fully all-powerful all the time, and this was a particular piece of land that they wanted for some reason, and it just so happened to be near Arcadia. Because there's, like, ruins on this place already. So there's something weird going on here, and so maybe the gods wanted this section of land for its history or for its shape or for something like that. And it just happened to be in this location. Or the gods really wanted to put it right there. And that's the more interesting question to me. As for would the elves abandon this place and go live in the Feywild? Well, they're not. They are, you know, the plan is for them to come here, but there's a lot of questions as to what elves, you know, what the nature of these creatures are. Do all of them come here? Do some go to the Feywild? Are there already elves living in the Feywild and then elves living on this plane of existence? Like, maybe there's already a group of elves over there and these ones aren't welcome. Or maybe there's some real big questions about the nature of elves and how they exist, if they can also sort of exist on another plane of existence. So what is their deal? What's their deal? Next question is for Vincent. Is there any lore we didn't get to know about your character that you really want to tell people?
Didn't you already ask that, though?
Yeah, but we didn't get an answer.
Re-asking.
Next question.
You want to ask it a different direction? I will say that I thought, I'll tie it into like a previous thing, similar to how Rossi would probably, you know, send people to investigate. Vincent strongly believes that Drekkus would have sent people to investigate if we missed out. So he was full on the idea of just, you know, going up to the enemy forces and performing diplomatic immunity. And he was very happy that Geraldine did the same thing to us, pretty much. Where she invoked her diplomatic immunity. And Vincent was like, oh, yes, this is how things should be done.
I can't get over the diplomatic immunity in this campaign. I will have the worst flashbacks.
I'm not even trolling, though. It was absolutely a thing.
Excellent. Yeah, I think even the ending was like not like climactic and like bloodshed and we're throwing around spells. For the land and for the Empire, I think it was probably the most like peaceful option that we had, which is good.
Is this speaking of peaceful option, is this the good outcome? Could it have been better? Or is this like the best we could have reasonably hoped for the campaign to end up in?
I think that exceeded the best possible option.
I mean, like, it would have been fun, and I think Crumb would have loved killing people and, you know, killing Geraldine and, like, fuck all these people, etc. But, you know, I'm glad that there was so much rationality in the other two party members that were like, hey, we can't just, like, stab everyone and, like, poison everyone. You know, if she goes missing, people will still come. There will be a war. Like, it's good. It was a really good, peaceful end.
It's also not easy to do. Like, sometimes it's harder to talk these situations out and try to see how far you can push your goals, right? Like, with any request you make, the other side could just be like, no, and just fireball you, you know? If you're standing like this, you don't, it's not scripted or anything. We don't know what they're willing to accept. We don't know how we're coming across, how desperate they are. We had no idea how many troops were left or anything. So we're just negotiating into the blind what we think is right. And that is very difficult to do. And sometimes that is harder than actually doing the battle map and fighting out the big fight. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I know it's a little bit anticlimactic for the fighting, loving people. I get it. I see you. But it is hard to do, and I was sweating while we were having that negotiation. It was hard. It was hard to do.
I think we got like 99% great score on like the peaceful ending. I guess the things that could have gone better at the end are if we had the goblin, if we didn't have to give the goblin, like that could have been good, like not giving Nook Nook. And also if we were able to like extort them somehow for all of the information and stuff that they had, like before they left. But I think realistically we did fantastic. It would have been, I don't even know how we would have gotten those two things. I think that the negotiations might have been kaput at that point. But honestly, if you wanted to really aim for the moon,
I think giving up the goblin is probably a good thing, and you might disagree with that, but it's we've given Nook Nook several I'm morally gray here, but we've given Nook Nook several possibilities to develop a sense of self and a sense of what is right and what do I want, and it's become very clear that he needs a way bigger effort and way more time to figure that out for himself, right? And until he's figured that out, this guy is a liability to anyone he shakes hands with, right? Like, he will switch sides. That's like this. True. You look at him, he's like, I'm your new best friend. And that is dangerous. We almost lost Vincent to that, right?
That's true.
And the way this was resolved is we talked to him in a peaceful way. We gave him the feeling of, okay, listen, if you really want to do something yourself, you have to do it yourself. He didn't manage to pull it off this time. But I feel like we at least tried to set him on a path where maybe in the future he will be able to decide for himself. And I feel like for him as a little guy, that is probably the biggest outcome you could have had. If we just had the happy ending of him just joining us, I feel like he wouldn't have learned anything, you know? So
maybe,
I don't know. I feel like he's alive, which is more than I thought.
Crumb's happy that he's gone. Just out of character, you know?
And we don't have to explain to people why we're keeping a murderous goblin around who tried to poison our wizard, so...
That's true.
We haven't told anybody, but I feel okay about it, actually.
this brings us to a question. It could be answered in many words. I'd like us to keep it short as possible. We can go through each of you, starting with Vincent. Can you trust Nook Nook? Is Nook Nook trustworthy?
100%. Just gotta watch out for the fact he's really dumb.
Crumb, is Nook Nook trustworthy?
No.
Elaine?
Like, yeah, Nook Nook, maybe good heart, no brain cell, like Orange Cat.
Mm-hmm. Elaine, is Nook Nook trustworthy?
No.
Next question. Does the Kingdom of Drekkus, Empire of Drekkus, have an official policy for dealing with the Army of Verossi in the aftermath of this incident? I think the aftermath of this incident puts them, you know, not really in the picture right now, knowing that they're dangerous, but we've already known that they were dangerous. So I don't think this incident, because it resolved fairly peacefully, has any impact on the immediate policy decisions. Drekkus has a lot of shit going on. It's a big... We got to deal with the fires that are raging on our borders, not worrying so much about the fires that are far away. Next question for Crumb. This is a good one for you, Crumb. What do you... Knowing that part of this campaign, you know, as we go through the campaign, the campaign is supposed to represent how the overall Empire of Drekkus behaves and acts... How do you think the party's choices in this campaign affect, or what do you think they say about the Empire of Drekkus? How does this reflect on the whole empire? What does this say about the whole empire?
I think it says that we're not like barbarians, and that like we're not like those orcs, right? Like the Verossi, they're the barbarians. We come in and we try to negotiate, and it's only when other people aren't rational. Mm-hmm. Even if, like, our version of rationality is just going along with what our empire wants, but, like, we try to negotiate, and then we resort to violence. Mm-hmm. But not first. you know, we only do it if we really have to, which is more like... It feels more like a developed nation that has, like, some set of principles that you go to before violence, which is probably good. I think that's what it says.
A diplomatic people who will resort to violence, but don't open with it.
Yeah. Like, hey, you should, warning shot, leave our island. You don't want to? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll kill you.
Oh, you should also try to
negotiate.
Time.
And we did, because we had our little diplomat there, you know?
Mm-hmm. And Crumb was here sort of as the side of the Empire that was willing to get its hands dirty to do whatever was needed. Do you think that Crumb lived up to that expectation?
To do whatever was needed. I think at first Crumb came in more like, don't take risks, kill the goblins, we need to like attack them and kill them. But the more that she stayed with the party, though she still felt like she was constantly pushing back against Vincent's approaches to things, because they were such extremes, we kind of found ourselves somewhere in the middle, and Elaine was kind of ruling somewhere in the middle, where Crumb would want to do something more drastic, Vincent would want to do something opposite drastic. And I guess the thing that Crumb could have done is, like, go behind the party's back to rogue it up and, like, get things to be more like breaking eggs. But I think that she was more willing to listen to Elaine. I think it would have been a lot different if she didn't have that kind of, like, I listen to my leader mentality.
Mm.
Yeah.
We're going to go back into game for a moment here, skipping out of questions again. Some days later, you know, after Lord Campbell and the Nereid, the town has faced some fires. It's been burned, it's been flooded, but things are starting to get back to normal. One of the issues, though, is that slough where ships have been coming in is pretty thick with mud. And it's there's not a lot of space for boats to come in here, as you're having to haul out all the extra mud and silt, and as rains come and wash all the extra mud and silt back into the slough, it gets a little bit thicker, and it's making that port kind of hard for boats to arrive. When somebody, one of the many people in town, probably one of the herders who takes their sheep and goats around, will say that they found another site that would be useful for an outpost a little bit down the coast, down around here. What is this, like 10 miles down the road or down the beach would be another useful site. And it's a much flatter open plain. You could get better agriculture over here. This is sort of like on a slight rise near this slough, and there's not great land here for agriculture. It works if it's a small village, but if this is going to expand into a real town or a real big city or outpost, you're going to need more land anyway. And that's, you know, a little bit further away. And at this point in time, the party is still in a spot of leadership where people listen to you, regardless if there's someone else who might be technically in charge of making these decisions. Does the party have any questions, insights, or desires to keep the town where it is, or to move it down into a less well-defended area where there's more room to expand?
How bad off is the town right now? Has it been, like, destroyed-ish through that flood?
Let's see. The fire destroyed maybe 15 to 20% of the town. The flood badly damaged everything. But, it, you know, water damage is repairable. Mud can be pulled out of buildings. Walls can be fixed from, you know, things crashing through them.
When you say less defensible, does that mean against, like the elements, or like against, like, if someone was to attack it?
Like, if you scroll down on this map a little bit, mm-hmm. you can see that the town has, like, it's got this big watery thingy right here, which gives it a lot of cover. And then you've got these high cliffs that look out to the sea. And really, this section here is maybe like a mile and a half of, like, walkable land. And so the town only has to worry about this mile and a half of overland approach. So it's pretty well defended from land, and it has, like, easy water access. If you were to go to where they're suggesting, way up here, it would just be, like, you know, a straight line for the coast and then open terrain until you hit the mountains.
I would follow, like, if they asked me for my opinion, Crumb would say the orcs are going to probably come back and try and hurt them, so I'd say keep them where they are and tell them not to have too many kids.
Nice. Nice.
I think without further reinforcements, we would have to keep the outpost where it is if it's possible. I mean, it's really a decision of the Empire whether they would be ready to make this a bigger place. So if it was in a harder to defend position, but we would get more troops because we will make it a military station, right? Then we'd have to worry less. But if it is supposed to just stay a tiny outpost, like a village, then we should probably stay where we are because that's easier to defend. Well, so I think that's a discussion to be had with the Queen eventually, and whether, this, you know, in the upcoming war, that would be a thing we would want to do.
In this day and age, communication is so slow, and information is so hard to, like, you only have what people write down or what people say or things that people draw. There's no photography, there's no typewriters. In this day and age, these sorts of decisions get made by the people on the ground there, not necessarily by empires, as much as we would like it to happen.
So I can just ask her to send over troops, is what you're saying. I could just be like, I need 50 more people to defend this new position, please send a ship, because that's what I'm asking for.
You could say that, and then they would send what they can, and if they can't send anything, then they wouldn't send anything. But you would be in the position of saying, we should move the town, or we should not move the town, and then this is what needs to be done. It's unfortunate.
I don't think we should move the town. I think we will eventually, once this is rebuilt, make a second post over there, right?
Okay.
Like, I think we should put in the effort to rebuild this place, especially since
keep
it has
this area,
so much history.
Make a suburb
and
later.
And then, exactly, make a suburb on the other side. But I mean, people are hurt and people are trying to rebuild. So I feel like packing up everything and going back there seems like a lot of effort instead of trying to rebuild this place if it's possible. So, yeah.
How do you feel about it, Vincent?
I'm a mapper. I definitely walked past that area and noticed how it was really good for farming. Mm-hmm. And I was like, they should have set this up there in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Nice big coastline, flat terrain. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I would be pro moving the town there. Especially
since make a comment about how.
Mm-hmm. Especially since there's no more enemies here, and there weren't in the first place, anyways.
Hmm. What were you saying?
They were talking about the elementals. It's not like they had anything to do about it. They can do anything about it, anyways.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Crumb would make a comment if he voiced that out loud to Lane, she'd be like, "It's like keeping a chicken in an unmanned hen house with foxes around," you know, like. How if they moved out there, they'd just be like, not a sitting duck, she would say sitting chicken.
Mm-hmm. So Crumb's really concerned about the security. Vincent's not concerned about security at all.
She's more paranoid, like, they need to be protected because we don't know who's coming and when.
The question is also, we've just seen all these natural disasters, right? So we have no idea if this is stable at all. So, like, building a new place right now, when maybe everything goes up in flames in 2 months, seems a little reckless.
Mm.
You know, rather reinforce the shelter we have right now.
How has Lord Campbell's disposition towards his role as leader changed after meeting with Elaine? Will he make an effort to be a proper noble? Will he talk with the Nereids about the Elven homelands?
Talk.
Will he...
Wink.
We'll talk about with the Nereids about the Elven homelands, and he tries to preserve the forest for themselves, for them, and keep the coastline for him and his people, which I don't think makes him a very good Empire player, right? That's definitely not loyalty to the Empire. That is loyalty to nothing, really, and just, like, feeling out the situation as it is, with no concerns for how it makes a bigger decision in the world, just living in his little tiny bubble, having a good time. As for how has Lord Campbell's disposition towards his role changed after meeting with Elaine? Well, she did just tell him that he needs to have a fucking opinion and work for his opinions and not be such a passive piece of shit.
Yep.
Which will bring us to our next little in-game segment. A few weeks after the discussion about whether or not to move the town, we'll have Lord Campbell inviting the party back to his estate. It's time for a ship to head back to the city, back to the homeland, back to the Empire. And you're all preparing documents and notes to send back, whatever information you need. You know, we need more people, we need fewer people, it's time to rotate out troop, whatever it is that you need to say. You're putting these things together. And Lord Campbell will invite the party together at his place. And as the evening progresses and dinners have being had and people are talking about leaving and some servants are talking about leaving and other people are talking about going back to get specific supplies, Lord Campbell will step up to the table, lift up his cup and say, "Ladies and gentlemen, I've been enjoying being governor. I think you all know this is not the position I intended. This is not the life I was born into. But with Elaine's teachings, I've learned my letters. I've been working on my courtesy and etiquette. And I think I am the only person this town recognizes as a independent and nonpartisan ruler. I've done very little, but I haven't made anyone angry. I've been a lowly peasant here. I've seen the horrors of the enemy, and I have worked well with both the monsters beyond the mountains and the monsters beyond the sea. I would like to stay on as governor. But in order to legitimize myself here, I think there's one thing that needs to be done. And he'll walk down the table not on it, but like alongside of it, and pull out small wooden ring from his pocket and take a knee beside Elaine, who's muted, and will say, Elaine Pentolin, you and I have very, very long lives to live. You and I are very invested in maintaining this land. It's clear you have no interest in a great many of the traditional aspects of marriage, but I think the two of us together could do good for one another and could do good for this land. Will you, Elaine, join houses with me? Legitimize my rule here and give you an excuse so your family will never bother you again about marriage, which I assume they've been bothering you and you've been turning them down.
Three cheers for the happy couple!
Wow. I'll look at him, kneeling down next to me, and I'll say, you do realize you could be a noble ruling by yourself without me.
Fordrin whispers to Vincent, this is gonna be good.
You're giving me the choice of living a life with or without you, Elaine. I choose the former.
Okay, but why? You could have all that without me. You could have your noble house. You could rule. You would just need to convince me to make it happen. I could send a letter to the queen and it could be all yours. Why not that way?
I don't want to say. Elaine. You and I share common history that is hard to find. You and I have shared the battles of this land. You have helped me become a better person. I think I have helped you temper your hot streaks, hopefully. I think we have more in common than either of us would particularly like. And I think we have very enjoyable chemistry. When you first showed up, armed with a sword, holding me hostage on my own boat, there was fire in your eyes and ice in your heart. But in the months that we've spent here on this island, I've seen that soften. I've seen you have enjoyable moments, let down your guard, and find peace. Some small corner of peace. I think we're good together. I think we would do well together. I think with our long lifespans, being with humans would be brutal, painful, and uncomfortable. And if in 40 or 50 years we decide this isn't working, we could always get divorced.
Wow. That's, you know, guys, if you ever go out there and propose to a girl, you know, don't involve the we could always get divorced line while you're still kneeling down. That is...
Yes. That's probably not a good solution for most people. But in this situation, Elaine's not a lovey-dovey romantic person who's waiting to be swept off her feet by Prince Charming. Elaine's more likely to bump into Prince Charming, who's tangled himself up in a tree and reluctantly cut him down from the tree, right? And that's what this is. This is the closest I think we're gonna get.
To what? Eternal happiness?
Elaine's never gonna be happy. Are you kidding me? But something that could be enjoyable. Something that could be...
This land needs you. You need to be his wife. If he rules us by himself, we're all fucked.
I'll look at Crumb's facial expression. What does her face say?
Jesus.
I'll look at him and I'll say, how could I say yes to a proposal if you've never even taken me out on a date? I'm pretty sure it is against all rules of etiquette to just agree to a spontaneous kneeling down at a dinner table.
My darling, soon to be the love of my life, you couldn't be more wrong. Arranged marriages amongst fellow nobles is a common thing. Many a noble has been engaged without ever having seen another person. And while we may never have had formalized dates with flowers and cookies, we have shared plenty of intimate moments of softness, introspection, and relief and company. You know me better than any woman I've dated before, and I think I know you better than most men you've met in your life. With your position, your rank, who could possibly stand beside you as an equal, other than someone as relaxed, presumptuous, and as forward as I? I've had to essentially insert myself into your life, and it's been fun. I hope these days do not end.
I'll look at him.
He beams at you with the, like, overly confident smile of someone who knows he's not going to get turned down. But also with the, like, bemused, this is a really fun thing. Like, obviously we're in this together. That smile of, like, come on, this is great. Let's do this. And you can gut him right here.
Oh, man.
Get him.
Can I give Vincent the secret fireball? So Elaine thinks about this, right? He does have the trust of... Do I have the feeling that the village would accept him as a proper spokesperson? Or do I get the feeling that they think he's a clown?
Well, if you marry him, they will absolutely accept him. Without this, if he's just left on his own devices, they don't dislike him. It would take some time for him to come into his own. They don't think he's a clown. I think the general consensus is that the ruler who rules the least rules the best. And he doesn't do a lot of getting involved in people's businesses, and they like that.
I'll say, okay, then let me ask you a personal question, okay? I never really thought much about marriage because I figured I had other duties. And it's not something that I lack in my life. Okay, you might disagree, but I don't think I do. You told me that your dream for yourself was to raise a couple of kids at the beach, be happy, be relaxed. All those things. But you do realize you'll never get that with me, yeah?
Same. Neither of us can have kids unless we adopt. And there's plenty of orphans to go around.
Sure, but even then, okay, we adopt a child together. We get married, we adopt a child.
Two.
We raise them. Okay, two. Whatever. The queen needs me.
Mm-hmm.
I have to leave. You mm-hmm. stay behind.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be sparse letters. There's going to be, I'll be in danger. There's going to be little contact. You'll never know when I come back. I might be gone for months or years on end. You will have to shoulder it all by yourself. There's nobody going to be here to back you up or save you out of tricky situations. And you'll have to be the one to explain to the kids why their mother doesn't ever come home. We will fight. We will argue. Every time I come back, it's going to be nice and sweet.
Why are we going to fight or argue? But, that sounds like everything up to there sounds great.
What do you mean it sounds great? Is that the loving
your dream?
Family you imagine?
You're off living your dream. I'm here living my dream. Then we get to live dreams together. I know what I'm getting into. You're a pentolin. You're a knight who's going to go do all sorts of, slay dragons and shit. You think I'm an idiot? I know exactly what you are. Emotionally unavailable, cold, stubborn, and full of adventure.
You have a terrible taste in women.
I imagine that this is very funny because everyone that's at this dinner is silent, and these two are just like going fucking back and forth.
We're fighting while he's like kneeling next to me with a little box, right?
Yeah.
Like we are fighting. Like Elaine is pissed off, she's annoyed, and he's like, "Oh, this is going." But it is a real chance to actually build something new on this island. And it's, you know, if marriage doesn't... Maybe it's not too bad if that's what you want to get out of life for yourself, you know. And he is, I guess, kind of... I mean, I hope he's at least a little bit handsome because his character is sometimes lacking, okay?
But, what? How could you say that about dear... Campbell. He's a half elf, so his hotness gets to be rolled 40-61. 12. That is in the upper end of average.
Alright.
It's perfectly average, gentlemen.
Yeah.
I'll say, you do realize you'll have to step it up if you were to be my husband, yeah.
In what capacity?
In pretty much every single one.
You're saying that you're going to challenge me each and every day? I'm looking forward to it. But you're going to have to soften up every now and then. I'm not asking you to break down in tears and tell me about your, you know, your relationship with your mother, but you are going to have to say at least one nice thing about me.
Well, how is your painting?
I said a nice thing.
All right. Okay, well, maybe if I find a nice thing, I'll say a nice thing. Okay, well, I look around the table and the awkward silence.
Servants, staff members, Willa, Crumb, Vincent, Vordrin.
I'll sigh and I'll extend my hand towards Lord Campbell.
Like this.
Yep, like that.
Okay, roll me a 1d5.
Five?
The ring is much too big for your finger. He has no idea what your ring size is, right? He just had something made. And it fits real loose.
Because I'm a strong woman, it must be, you know.
Uh-huh, yeah. It's fine. I can get it. I'll make another one. I'll have another one made. It'll be fine. But he'll slide the loose-fitting ring on your finger that can slide off at a moment's notice if you're not, like, actively holding it together.
All right, I'll take the ring off my finger and I'll put it around my pentelin necklace and I'll say,
"In real cheers!" Like at the moment that Elaine gets, she does this, but Crumb, I imagine now that she's not on duty, is drinking fucking wine like it's nothing.
Uh-huh.
She takes her wine cup. She's like, "Yeah."
I'll just say, yes. "Well, I guess welcome to the family, Lord Pentelin."
Ah, excellent. Excellent. And he will stand up, reach out a hand to get you to stand as well.
I'll stand, and I'm slightly taller than him, which is really adorable, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He'll put an arm around your waist and wave out to the assembled people. My fiance! Congratulations to me!
Ali!
Yay!
I lean forward and I say, "So how are your dancing skills?"
So much better than yours.
Oh, really?
So
I'd
much
love
better
to
than
see
yours.
That.
My God, she's asking me to dance. And I think we can just end it there for that little bit. Excellent. So sweet. Did not expect this to happen. Not in a million years.
Oh, there we are.
Mm-hmm.
Crumb doesn't like him, however...
How could you not?
The thing is that this place would be fucking lost without Elaine guiding him. And also, if she gets married to him, that means that she gets to stay. Which means that Crumb might go on her adventures. So she's like, yes! Marry him! Do it! You get to be... You get to play mommy for a little longer.
I think it's also a declaration to the town, right? As Neil said, if the two of them are a couple, they're saying, you know, we're here to stay. We're making this a better place. And it's way harder for the queen to be like, yeah, we're going to send somebody else, because this is like an established thing then, you know, before anybody else can arrive. So it's easier to keep the leadership if they do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
I know, it's very romantic.
Super romantic.
Not political.
Next question is for Vincent. Is Vincent wanting to take over Geraldine's position and then start investigating the strange magics here?
He's definitely curious about what's at the fort, and he's definitely interested in the Nereids in this, not the same way as the as Elaine's new husband, but
tiny smooch.
Yeah, well, Vincent's here, he's probably going to go take a look at that trident of corrupting everyone's mind.
Mm.
I mean, I could probably also cut you a deal. I think at some point Elaine would come to Vincent, and she sees that. I think with Elaine and Crumb, they don't need to talk an awful lot. I feel like the second Crumb decided to jump in front of that battle axe wielding orc to take a full on blow for a leader, Elaine was like, I'm never going to leave this halfling. You know, we are friends, we are a team, and she would do pretty much anything for Crumb, because that was one of the biggest gestures anybody's ever extended to her. But with Vincent, it's a different thing, right? Like, we argue a lot and we have lots of discussion, and Vincent obviously has other things in mind that are not just the Empire. But having a wizard on board is a really valuable thing. And if they take Vincent away, who knows if Elaine is going to get another one. You know?
Another Vincent?
So it's a mixture of... Oh, no, another wizard at all, first of all. So he's an asset on one hand, but on the other hand, she's also learned a few things from him, and she realizes that sometimes you need somebody else to keep you in check and keep a balance. Leadership isn't always about just surrounding you with people who nod all the time, right? You need people who speak up to you and who will debate what you say. And she feels like Vincent at his heart is a good person, so he will not just speak up just to annoy her or something like that. So I think at some point she would offer to Vincent that if he were to stay and wanted to explore the island, the elementals, the ley lines further, and yeah, maybe create a map for the outpost, then she could maybe, you know, cut a deal for him with the Empire for his position, maybe rank him up so he would make a little bit more money. You know, trying to talk to people to put him in a position so he can maybe retire earlier and follow his own adventures at an earlier point if he wants to.
Okay.
What a kind offer. I'll take you up on that.
So we're going to see the band sticking together for a while, it sounds like?
Seems like it.
Okay.
I think if I go out to actually achieve weapon mastery, I also need someone who's able to run the island and to keep Lord Campbell in check. So I need at least, you know, I feel like two people are better at doing that than just one. Because this man is going to burn everything to the ground. So yes,
marriage
please stay.
Kept everyone together.
Aww.
Their love. Their true love.
Wow.
True love, yes.
That felt like true love to me. How do these soldiers feel about this situation? About having victory despite being outnumbered? How do they feel about abandoning Elaine to die on the mountain and the lack of punishment for desertion? So I think overall, the general soldiers, they're just random peasants who have been conscripted into infantry to do their, you know, yearly duty. And I think for them, this has been the most terrifying time of their life. It's been very scary. I can't remember the total number of casualties, but I don't think it was very high at the end. I think overall...
Did we even have one?
Not sure.
You had one guy who was solid. Dying, and we brought him back from zero, I think. I think it was zero casualties, actually.
They're pretty confident. And you know what? They broke and ran during a combat, and they're not really concerned about it, you know? They're farmers who were given spears and a couple weeks of training and sent off to the front lines. If they broke and ran, but then everything worked out in the end, moving on, not even concerned. As for lack of punishment, I don't think any of them expected to be punished for fleeing against overwhelming odds on the side of a mountain where the enemy had high ground. I don't think these people really ever... Maybe, you know, they maybe expected to get chewed out. What they really expected was that they were just going to die. But when they didn't all die but at the hand of the enemy, they certainly didn't expect that they would be punished or injured for fleeing. Because, you know, fighting is scary. And they all ran together because it was very, very scary. So I think that's how they feel. Now, Willa, the only person from the previous chapter, and with the particular backstory of her people, feels real, real terrible about all of these things. And while she has enjoyed working with Elaine, if enjoyment is something that Willa can feel, I think she also is wanting to be in more of a front line, tip of the spear sort of position. And with things wrapping up fairly peacefully in this part of the world, I think Willa will specifically request, you know, another posting in a more advanced, forward facing combat role. And that might mean saying goodbye to the rest of the party and going her own way. But I think that's probably going to be her jazz. Yeah. Next question is for Peach. At the end of all of these things, at the end of the, you know, we've already talked about what you're going to be doing in the future. What does Crumb think about this adventure? What's going through Crumb's head vis-a-vis meeting these people a few months ago and then staying through all the fires on the island? Both with elementals and the burning passion of love between these characters.
I think at first, Crumb is surprised that anything was managed to be solved without subterfuge and violence and poisoning. You know, the way that when she got assigned to this, she was probably like, okay, I think I have an idea of what I'm going to have to do here. I'm going to be sneaking into someone's castle. I'm going to be poisoning them. I'm going to be stabbing them. That's how we're going to solve this. That's how it's always solved. You have to, if you kill the right people, the problem goes away. But then it actually got handled like in a very different way. So I think that she has learned that she can be a little bit more precise with her roguing abilities and that it's important to only rogue out when she has to. Not that she didn't poison. She did. She totally poisoned those orcs. But it was more like, you don't just poison and kill everyone. You kind of are more specific with it. I think that Crumb will be happy to be Elaine's, like, personal rogue in future. Like, she'll just kind of stick by her. She likes her leadership. Crumb isn't too bright. Like, she's not so smart that she can make decisions on her own. She's just happy to be involved in the violence and killing. So, you know, if Elaine ever needs someone sorted out, Crumb will fucking, no problem, no questions asked, go deal with them. And she's probably a little dismayed that the super political, peaceful companion is also staying. She's probably like, fuck. God, why do you have to stay? Yeah.
Which brings us to the last question for Vincent. What's it like playing a character as committed to diplomacy as Vincent is?
That was great. I enjoyed doing so because I enjoyed the big picture view of this campaign, and that we're definitely way bigger than our characters, and we have almost the full backing of Drekkus behind us, which means that just fighting isn't the answer. You know, we can't cause an international incident, and so can't they. So, therefore, diplomatic immunity. Hooray.
Did you enjoy the non-violent diplomatic approach to role-playing?
Oh, yes, I always prefer that over combat.
Last question for Fayama. Any thoughts regarding her feelings on the whole Elven Sanctuary situation now that the outpost is more or less secured? And if this is going to become a populated place and you're sort of in charge of it now, at least you're married to the governor.
Governor's married to me.
Same. If the other side of the mountains are supposed to be an Elven Sanctuary, how are you going to keep the people, the Empire, from not taking it for themselves?
I mean, that's the job I have now, right? Which is going to be a difficult task. But so far, they haven't really cared about the island. For years, they haven't sent anybody over here, right? And I've taken over now. I feel like everything I'm planning to do is to solidify that position that I'm actually in power and in charge here, and that they should respect that, and that they don't send anybody else who makes a decision, and that with the group I will be able to figure out how this island works, how the ley lines work, how the planes work, what we can do to actually establish a sort of symbiosis here. You know, there's a lot of work to do on this island. Mm-hmm. And just saying, listen, she still has this ace up her sleeve, which is, listen, we could keep this for future negotiations with the elves if we keep it an Elven Sanctuary. And if they come back, and this is the only place they can go, these could be the strongest long-lived allies, right, we could possibly have. So it is a real asset, I think, to keep it that way.
Do you have any concerns or fears that the elves will see the whole island as a sanctuary and not just the jungle and come take the coastline for themselves?
I've never met any real elves. I don't think Elaine has interacted much with elves. I think when she went into that grove, she felt a sense of purpose. And she felt that there are always big questions ahead of you, no matter what you do. Every mission comes with 1,000 different problems, right? But if you worry about it all the time, then you'll never move forward. So yeah, is she worried about it? Sure. Just as she's worried about 1,000 other things throughout the day, because that's her job, to be the one who worries. But she's still pretty young, and she's constantly trying to develop into a better leader, a better person, figure out more stuff about herself. So I think she could be a very powerful, knowledgeable person over time if she does it right. And I think that's what she's trying to achieve, just be better for her empire, but also be just a better, more knowledgeable person.
Okay. Well, we're wrapping up pretty much here. We don't have any more questions from chat. I don't have any more questions either. Do you have any questions that you'd like answers to, or any other last influences you'd like to make at the end of this campaign? This is a question to all of you.
I don't think so. I think I'm happy leaving crumbs future ambiguous with, like, all the sorts of shenanigans she could get up to on the island with Elaine there, now married, running the thing.
Go
ahead, yeah.
Yeah, I hope that Elaine manages to soften up under this new marriage. Aww. I'm rooting for Campbell.
Oh, well, he's going to have a tough time. Tomorrow morning, it's going to be sparring lesson on the beach, because if you're noble, you need to be able to swing a sword.
Not all nobles need to do that, you know?
Will have to. Nope, I'm not going to leave my future adopted kids with some wimp who, you know, cannot even swing a stick, so no, it's not happening.
I feel like Crumb's attitude towards this, she now feels like she's friends with Elaine, and I feel like over time they're gonna be best friends. And Crumb feels like a cat, which, like, you know when cats, like, nuzzle up on your legs and stuff? She feels like that towards Elaine, but then when she sees Campbell, she goes, you know, like, she's really, like, happy with Elaine and, you know, very best friendly, but she's just not gonna really like her husband. But she's glad that she's staying because of him, you know?
Well, that's cute.
Yeah. But I think for the future, Elaine will have to, even though that's maybe one of her main purposes now, I think she will have to leave the island eventually and pursue these other things, because she has a duty towards the Empire, and she feels that she needs to step up. It's not all about her and her future and what she wants, right? But if she's being called upon, if there are missions to go through, she will go, and she's ready for that. You know, that won't change. But I think discovering Santa Barbara also meant for her to have a change of perspective, meet new people, make maybe the first friends she's had in a long time. And just so many possibilities opening up. And also, like, the Empire showing her, we are not going to decide everything for you, right? This was the first time where Elaine actually didn't have orders that were like, first, second, third, this is how we're doing it. But it was like, well, if you, it's up to you, you know? If you want to kill them, you kill them. If you don't want to kill them, you don't kill them. And that's a lot of power to hold in your hands. And she doesn't want to give that up. But that means she will need to be ready to make bigger decisions. Yeah.
Jeff, any final thoughts, things that you want to leave, questions you want to ask?
Oh, that was great. Hello and goodbye from Santa Barbara, near Santa Barbara.
Yeah, maybe just a little shout out, because I had a great time. I had a fantastic time playing this campaign, debating, laughing, fighting, all the stuff. I think we were a wonderful group. I'm very happy it came together like that. And even though it was a really small campaign, right? I played like 4 episodes, and then we played, what is it, 12? 11, 12-ish together. I feel like we really had some great moments in here. And I'm very happy, and I'm very honored to have been part of it. And I will treasure it.
Oh, thank you.
Same. It's been very nice. It's been awesome playing with you guys as well.
Well, that will round us out for Rise of Drekkus Chapter 2. Chapter 3 has also already ended. Coming up next will be Rise of Drekkus Chapter 4. I'm still working out the details of that. I don't know when our launch date is, but there will be a Chapter 4. There is a Patreon post about it for enthusiastic supporters. And it will have something to do with elves, and it'll probably be a solo campaign. So we'll see you guys then for that.